So very good to see so many beautiful smiling faces here. Happy Sunday to all of you as we get so close to Easter. Good to see a lot of visitors here to St. Paul's, old friends, and hopefully some new ones. I presume you're not all here for the Shamrock Shuffle anyways. Happy St. Patrick's Day, especially to any of those with Irish heritage. It's good to rejoice in this great apostle of Ireland whose work contributed so much to the world. It's an exciting time. We have a new Pope, Pope Francis, reigning in the throne of Peter, and they have just been very, very exciting days. As we come near to Easter, right, Palm Sunday is a week away, we have set before us this very famous gospel passage. The readings that the church sets before us are giving us a very specific call. We know the story, this woman, all right, caught in the very act of adultery. How they found that one out is a great question, but anyways, we won't think too hard about it, right? And notice, all right, she is thrust before Jesus. She doesn't say, hey, I've done bad things, why don't I go talk to this prophet Jesus, everything will be okay if I do that. No, they drag her out, all right? The Pharisees, they've got a misguided faith in our Lord, but they're doing this to test him. It's almost like they already know his message. They already know that he's going to pardon her. He's going to show her mercy, and they want to trap him in it. But she doesn't know that. He's just this holy man, all right? Is he like all the other holy men who did condemn me? And he shows her this abundant mercy, right? A mercy that has justice. A mercy that is conditioned, that says, go and do not sin anymore. But this abundance of mercy. How can Jesus do this? He can do it, yes, because he is God. But how can that have any real effect in her life? It obviously has the clear emotional sentiment, right? Anytime we are kind to someone, that has real clear impact, right? When you show someone kindness, that has an effect in their life. When you show someone mercy, when you show someone peace, that has real live effect. Does that have the capacity to change their soul? Our Lord can say this to her, right? Because he knows what he is going to do when he walks the way of the cross, right? See, I am opening up a new road, the prophet. The first reading is conveying this message, right? Mercy in abundance is coming. But how is he going to do it? How can he make that promise in great confidence? He just sort of like, well, I'm God, so I kind of do what I want, and you seem nice, so I'll forgive you. Try not to sin anymore and go it on your way. Notice what our Lord, see the imagery. When God reveals the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, right? The first copy of the law, God wrote the law with his very finger, it says in the sacred scripture, on the rock. God is kneeling down, inscribing onto the earth his law of mercy. Now on the mountain of Sinai, that law was sealed with what? With the erection of the altar and the sacrifices that God commanded. When he sprinkled the blood on it, that's when the law that God wrote on Sinai took effect. Jesus Christ bends down, writes his law of mercy onto the earth, speaks mercy to this woman. It takes effect when he sacrifices himself on the cross. And the new way, right? In the old way, it was all justice. And you had to butcher and sacrifice these animals that couldn't bring redemption. They could just sort of mitigate the justice of God. Now God himself makes the sacrifice. And that opens up real live mercy. And we have to confess. Pope Francis was just talking about it this morning, right? God's mercy is limitless. Ours has a limit because we don't want to walk the road to the cross. In the Second Vatican Council, right? Here's this woman, and we don't know anything about this woman. Presumably she's just a regular woman caught in the very act of adultery. She's married. Does she like her husband? Does she not? Is this an act of vengeance? Or is it just a mistake that she made? Does she have kids? What's this going to have to do to her children, to her life of her family? All right, all these kinds of things. So here's this person, a regular person, a good person. And evil has intersected with her life, and it's unveiled. What are we doing? Second Vatican Council, right. Christians proclaim that all human activity, which is daily jeopardized through pride and distorted self-love, right? We can't know the woman, but right, how did she and whoever this guy is that she was with, how did they get into that situation? pride, distorted self-love. Right? Christians proclaim that all human activity, which is daily jeopardized through pride and distorted self-love, needs to be purified and completed by the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? That is the truth of the divine faith. Everything gets purified by the cross and the resurrection. But that's the hard part. We like that you're forgiven. We like to do whatever you want. Someone says it's okay, and then you scatter on your way. We like that. That's nice, okay? I'm okay. You're okay. Don't try to do that anymore. At least not in public. A little gross, all right? And we can forget. Not on purpose. We can forget. It's purified in the cross and the resurrection. Listen to the words of Pope Francis when he preached his very first homily as Pope. So this is the Pope. When one does not profess Jesus Christ, one professes the worldliness of the devil. When we walk without the cross, when we build without the cross, when we profess Christ without the cross, we are not disciples of the Lord, we are worldly. Oh, maybe we are bishops, priests, cardinals, even popes, but we are not disciples of the Lord. I would like that all of us, after these days of grace, might have the courage. And you should have seen his face when he preached. He's not preaching from any notes. He's staring right at the college, all the cardinals of the church. He said, like after these days, all of you to have the courage to walk in the presence of the Lord with the cross of the Lord, to build the church on the blood of the Lord, which is shed on the cross, and to profess the one glory, Christ crucified. This is exactly what St. Paul is saying in Philippians, right? This power comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith, to know him and the power of his resurrections and the share of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. As we are so close to the high holy days and the celebration of the glory of Easter, the scriptures of the church, the Holy Father himself, and again, if you haven't paid attention to the Pope's doing, these are amazing, amazing day. Let's heed the call of the Vicar of Christ on earth. Let's heed the call of this holy man who is preaching to the whole church, because he's preaching the gospel of Christ. If we do not profess Jesus Christ, we profess the worldliness of the devil. We want to be good people. We want to do the right thing, but sometimes we want to do the right thing without Jesus. Again, not on purpose. Not like, oh, I hate you, Jesus, now I want to do this other thing. But it's like, I want to do my thing. What does Jesus think about this thing? I don't know. Who cares? All right. No, we're not saying, hey, you know what? I'm done with Jesus. I want to hang out with the devil now. But listen, this is the Pope. If you're not professing Christ, you're professing the worldliness that comes from the devil. If we walk without the cross, if we proclaim Christ without the cross, we are not disciples. Well, he had it earlier on. He said, if the church does not walk with Christ on the cross, it becomes a pitiful NGO. Right? Just another organization doing good things. Okay, that's not the church. It's not like only Christians can do good things. Lots of people can do good things. But if we're doing this without the cross of the Lord, the price of that beautiful, endless mercy, if we're doing without the cross, right? And what do I mean when I say the cross? I mean things like, look, when I got to get up, I get up because it's the right thing to do. I got to start my day. When I got to go to bed, I go to bed. I don't sit around and just sort of do whatever I want. Well, I kind of want to watch YouTube until whenever. I kind of want to watch TV until this and that. No, it's time to go to bed so I can get up, so I can live my life for God. When it's time to say my prayers, that's when I do it. I say my prayers. When it's time to go to class, I go to class. When it's time to do my work, I go to work. Now, those are not the biggest crosses in the whole wide world, but that, like, sometimes I don't want it. I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't want to get out of bed. Maybe you've never had that experience, all right? It's hard. I hate it, all right? I sit there and I hear the radio come on and I'm like, maybe it just won't. It, oh, dang, it is. Okay. Got to get up, right? Not the biggest cross, but I got to do it. I got to live not for my own self-pleasure, right? Why does Christ love the cross? Christ loved the cross because it's the gateway to mercy for the whole world, not because it's like, awesome, crucifixion, they make statues of me, pictures, paints me, great, all right? No, It's I walk the cross because it's gonna. Because what I said to that woman, he's seeing that woman. He's seeing you and I and all of the sins and failings we have committed. He sees us and says, this is why I'm on the cross, for you. So that what I say to you, the mercy that I preach is real, can touch your hearts. And it touches our hearts in the little things that we just don't always want to do. Sometimes you want to get up, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you want to go to class, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you want to go to work, sometimes you don't. That's what we're supposed to do. I do it because that's what I'm supposed to do. My time of prayer, sometimes I'm all excited to do my prayer. Sometimes not. Sometimes I'm all excited to keep the moral law. Sometimes I'm not. This is walking, right? Why? I'm walking. Why am I keeping the moral law? Because it's just such great fun, all right? Sometimes it isn't, all right? Sometimes I'm at dinner parties where like, man, this would be so much more fun if I had like 3 martinis, all right? Because the conversation is dying here, right? Well, I can't do that. Can't. Why? Because I don't want to? No, I want to, all right? I mean, there was a time in my life where I had 3 martinis. It was great, okay? But it's not the greatness that I'm made for. And that greatness fades and it passes. So I do it because I want to be conformed to Christ. Yes, I mean, I'm a priest. I get a lot of growth and edification out of prayer. Sometimes I don't want to say my rosary. Sometimes, like, I'll just skip my mental prayer. I'll just want to do that, right? No, I conform myself to Christ. I give the moral law for Christ. And then above all, right, when you see with another person, you know, they're lonely people. Sometimes I'm lonely, so if you're looking for a lonely person, come say hi to me, because sometimes I'm lonely, and then you can do that apostolate, all right? I mean, they're lonely people every now and again. Sometimes people are sad. Sometimes people are hurting. Sometimes people are hungry. Sometimes people are cold, right? Well, let's be Jesus to those people. I want to seek out those people. Why? Because it's so awesome. Sometimes, I mean, have you ever talked to someone who's really hurting? Sometimes that's hard. You just don't have the answer, right? Have you ever had a conversation with some of the poor people on State Street? It's not always so easy, right? Because sometimes it's a little hard to track where they're going. Or they make a demand on you that it's like, whoa, that is just too much. Or that's a little inappropriate, and I've got to govern my way through this, right? But for the love of Christ on the cross, because I want to be, I mean, I'm imagining Jesus, the God-man, having conversation with human beings. Like, I'm not saying Jesus was bored, but I mean, it's like, what are you going to say to impress God? Like, you know, Jesus is like, oh, good point. No, actually, I know that point already. Thank you very much. And it's an imitation of the beautiful humility, right? And it is. It's funny to think and say it like that, but that's real holiness. That's walking with Christ on the cross, because sometimes you want to do it and sometimes you don't. And when we go, right? Because we hear our Lord predicts the cross. He preaches about the cross. He knows he's going to do it. He's going to. And then he's in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Lord, let this pass for me. Sometimes you want to do it. Sometimes you don't. But if we say no to Christ on the cross, we are inherently saying yes to self-love, to the worldliness that comes from the devil. The devil who says, I want to do what I want to do. And we say, no, I want to do what I must do. That righteousness which comes through faith, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know him and the power of his resurrection and the share of his sufferings. It's true. A great suffering might be in your life that you did not choose, or may come to you in your life that you do not choose. Those are more real crosses. Those are greater trials. Those are special unions with our Lord. But these little ones that we willfully pick up every day, those attain for us the power to know Christ Jesus. So in these last great days before the high holy days, where our Lord is pouring so much grace onto the world, let's reaffirm our faith in the great mercy of God because we're willing to walk with Christ on the cross. I do what I have to do for love of Jesus and for everybody else. I pray when I have to pray for love of Christ and everyone else. I keep the moral law for love of God and my neighbor. And above all, I grow near to where the cross of Christ is most present. In the Eucharist, so you're all doing it here at Sunday Mass, and in the confessional. Just so happens this coming Thursday evening, we have our Lenten penance service at 7 o'clock, a great time to touch our Lord's cross in its beautiful mercy in the confessional. Also, as a sidebar, great time to be a Pharisee, by which I mean this. Be like the Pharisees, just drag somebody in here, all right? The Pharisees wanted to have this girl judged, but instead she found the greatest mercy she would ever know. She was probably not jacked up to get drug out of the very act of committing adultery and then find this holy man, all right? That's not like on her, but... So, like, don't literally drag someone in here, but you know what I mean, all right? Be real apostolic. Bring a friend in here who just needs to know the mercy of Jesus on the Lenten penance service on Thursday. Who knows what beauty will touch them. Noise, let's go to Mary. She lived this most perfectly. Mary, mother of the church, mother of every believer whom God willed to pull so close to himself, right? That like on the way of the cross, Jesus could see his mother and he could bear it a little more easily on the way. So to us, in our Marian devotion, we draw Our Lady close to our lives. So that walking the road of the cross is hard sometimes. And Mary makes it a little bit easier, a little glance of love so that we stay on the way, that we have the courage to walk in the presence of the Lord with the cross of the Lord, to build the church on the blood of the Lord, which is shed on the cross, to profess the one glory, Jesus Christ crucified.